It's good to be here this evening. I thank the Lord for His grace that has brought us this way. We're glad to have you with us, Peter, by means of the telephone. We pray the message will be a blessing to each of you. And by the way, if we're looking forward to having you Sunday for dinner, if the hurricane prevents that, then we'll certainly reschedule that for another time, but that's in the Lord's hands. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Psalm 119, as we have been studying in this psalm since December of last year. God has blessed me tremendously in studying these 119th psalm. I've learned much. It's been a joy to me. It's been an arduous task in study, but it's been rewarding in many ways. We're in the 8-verse section under the Hebrew word daleth, which is verse 25 through verse 32. And I'll read those 8 verses, and then we're going to confine our thoughts this evening to Psalm 119, verse 30, 31, and 32. And I trust that we might be able to finish these up and go on into our next section. Verse 25 says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously." Now these verses are those that we will confine our thoughts to this evening. Verse 30, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." So we want to look at these verses, these 3 verses, actually as an answer to David's request back up there in verse 27, where he makes the statement, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. And so he says in verse 31, I have chosen the way of truth. Verse 32, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. Our way, you see, must be brought in conformity to God's way.
Right.
Our way is insignificant. And it really amounts to nothing for the most part, because our way is a selfish way and it's not God's way. It's a worldly way. So it must be brought into the way of God's way and for God's glory. You see, when our ear is inclined to God's way, that's beneficial to the soul. Our way is not beneficial to the soul. It's beneficial to the body or to our desires. You see, sinful man and holy God, we don't think the same way. Or we don't understand things alike. In fact, the difference is as far apart as heaven and earth. The expanse is as great as darkness and light, and death and life. Our thoughts and our words, for the most part, are empty and accomplish nothing. God's, on the other hand, are prosperous and they fulfill God's purpose. A few verses to solidify those statements. You know, you can say a lot of things, but if you don't prove it by Scripture, you've wasted a lot of time and energy. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 55 and verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Now drop down to verse 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." See, the wicked forsake his way. That's our way.
Sorry.
It's a way of wickedness. It's not God's way. Verse 9, "For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the hearer, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." So that's the way that I want.
Right.
I want God's word, because it accomplishes something. And it's not what I please, but it pleases God. And it's going to prosper. The things that we conjure up and the way that we decide to go, for the most part, is not prosperous at all. Psalm 40 and verse 5. We're talking about God's way and our way. "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." God's ways are wonderful works. And finally, in the book of Hosea, chapter 14 and verse 9. All these verses establish what I just stated earlier.
Mm-hmm.
"Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord," now notice, "are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein." And so these verses tonight in the 119th Psalm, verse 30-32, teach us how to conform to the ways of God's Word. That's what he said in verse 26. "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy ways," or "thy statutes," which is equivalent as "thy ways." So these verses, that they are teaching us how to conform to the ways of God's Word.
Right.
You see, what we learn, that it's mind over matter. And by that I mean our minds conform to the matters of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And God's ways, found only in His Word. And you know the Psalm, the Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, we need to be taught so that our mind is in conformity to God's mind as much as possible. You see, the eyes of our understanding need to be enlightened. Ephesians 1:18, in fact, makes that very statement. "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints."
Mm-hmm.
We must know God's way. We must be conformed to it, that we might have an understanding. We might be enlightened. We might know many things. And here he says, "What is the hope of his calling, and what the great riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints?" If you'll turn a little further over in chapter 4 there of Ephesians, verse 22, he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put off the new, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, the new man is ever continually renewed as to the image of Christ as the Scriptures present Him. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So let us finish out this fourth, eighth verse section and answer the request of verse 27 under that verse there. Is make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So how is that possible? How do we arrive at that? Well, I want to look at it under three lines of thought. We must have a willing mind. I think we see that in verse 27, or 30. I have chosen the way of truth. We must have a determined mind. He says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. And we must have an expedient mind. I will run the way of thy commandments. Christ is our example in all of these. Verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. You see, when God saved us, we were made willing after a godly sort, weren't we?
That's right.
Because He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. It's interesting, in that wonderful 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, that statement or a similar statement is stated three times. That's how important it is. I have chosen the way of truth. And God's sheep desire that truth. When God saves us, we're made willing after a godly sort. There's no... The majority of the professing Christendom today, they just constantly are pushing back on the Word of God, as if it's some strange thing, is that, you know, that they're supposed to bow to. It's not a strange thing. It's the natural inclination of this child of God, because we were made willing in the act of salvation, and that never changes after God saves us. He says, my sheep hear my voice. In verse 3, to them the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. We hear his voice. And then in verse 4 it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Where does this thing ever come into our church that we hear what God says, but we just ignore it?
Yeah.
When did that become such a constant in our churches? Oh, I hear it, but I'll take what I want and leave the rest. No. We not only hear the voice, but we follow that voice. Verse 14, I said three times before. It says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And then verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. We follow God's call because, first of all, it's irresistible. When God calls His sheep, they hear. And not only is it irresistible, it's personal. He calls us by name. And we recognize that voice. When God spoke to disobedient Adam, He knew exactly who it was that was speaking to him.
Right.
How did he know? Because God addressed his name. He said, Adam, wherefore art thou? Abraham followed the voice of God, didn't he? And he followed that all the days of his life. Genesis 12:1-4, we find where God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He recognized the voice of God. The child of God, my friend, knows and recognizes God's word and embraces it.
Right.
And when we hear a sire note, that registers just as well. People can go in churches or so-called churches today and they can hear all kinds of foolishness coming from the pulpit and go on like, man, that's the gospel. But if you've ever sat under something like that and you hear that sire note, man, it just chills you to the bone because you know it's not right. How do you know it's not right? Because the Word of God is the voice of God. And when the Word of God is proclaimed properly, then we recognize it. Abraham followed the voice of God. God called him by name and he followed the voice of God. He obeyed God as to the unknown that lay before him. He said, you go out to a place that he knew not of. And not only the unknown, but the difficult. There's a lot of things in this book that are very difficult for a child of God when we look at it from a human standpoint. But they're not difficult when we realize that that's what God says for us to do.
Right.
And so the life of faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So although there is an unknown quality about it, yet we still follow God because we know that His voice and His word is true. But we may not see the end of it. And we might not understand the difficulty that He might lead us through. Rahab followed the direction of the spies. Why? Because they represented the God that she had heard about. I always love this passage of Scripture in Joshua when those spies come there in chapter 2. And she begins to give her testimonies what she's doing. In verse 9 it says, and she said unto them, unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint because of you. She's speaking to the spies. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. When God's people hear God's word, they are conforming to it and they bow to it. Ruth followed the God of Naomi. And then she followed Naomi secondarily. She said, thy God will be my God. And that was the God of the Bible. You see, we're not driven by the Word of God against our will because we have been made willing. But we follow because we want to follow. Why? Because we're His sheep. You see, faith is not only assurance that God has spoken to us, but it's conviction to follow His Word. And I bring that out because that verse I just read on, or quoted there on Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It would be more accurately read, for faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction to follow His Word. Our lives are not spent fulfilling our own desires, are they?
Sorry.
We're the master's servants.
Amen.
Neither are our lives spent straddling the fence. We cannot believe that we are straddling a fence, or that we can straddle a fence. Because if you're a child of God, you're not straddling the fence. You're either for God or against God. You see, a human life cannot be neutral concerning God. I don't care what people say. Well, I'm not against God. Well, are you for Him? We're either for Him or against Him, because it's impossible to serve two masters, and we're serving one or the other.
Amen.
We love Him because He first loved us. We therefore choose the way of truth because He first chose us to that way of truth. If we don't love His way, then we don't love Him. That's just that simple. So our life secured by Christ through His gospel is not a happenstance existence. Or I'll just go as I please and do as I want. Whatever comes to us, you know, que sera, sera. The gospel is not a happenstance existence. That is, the gospel as it affects God's people. It's not a stumbling, bumbling, whatever may come sort of life. You see, we have a roadmap in God's Word of His revealed will and way. And this Word plays out under different names to convince our mind to His truth. So what I mean by that is, you remember when we started this study of the book of Psalms, I gave a definition of the words that are used in place of the Scriptures. And there were 7 or 8 of them, or even 9, depending on how you looked at it. There was law and the way and testimonies and commandments and precepts and word and judgments and statutes. So this Word of God, this Scripture, plays out under these different headings and revealed to us different things. The law, you see, was to guide us as a rule of conduct, to teach us. And the testimony is for us to bear witness of that truth that He has taught us. Not only personally, but as a church and its commission. Yeah. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel.
Right.
The word commandments has reference to it speaks of the commands of God is the authority of God. And our trust in that, you see. Statutes, they are written on our hearts. So the Word plays out under different names to convince our mind to these truths. That's why they have all these different words for the Scripture. They're not synonymous, but they have a different facet of the truth of God. Mm-hmm. They're prescribed by a loving Father and written on our hearts. You see, God's infinitely wise and His children. Why would we seek another's advice? Or as His children, why would we seek another's advice? Right. For advice is all it would be. We, that is, the learners, the child of God, the servants, we want something definitive, don't we? Mm-hmm. And certain, and we have something that's certain and sure. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's not another way, there's not another truth, and there's certainly not another life. The psalmist said earlier, and I mentioned it, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. And so a willing mind is the first step. And that's the first thought that we're talking about here this evening. A willing mind. Every misstep, every failing, every departure, every denial chronicled in the Scriptures, and they're unnumbered, is a direct result of ignoring God's way and choosing ours. Adam did it, Lot did it, Samson did it, David did it, and Peter did it. They ignored their own way or preferred their way above God's. So we need to study God's Word and God and lay it out before us. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. No wise man ever began a work without first accounting the cost, assessing the needs, considering the dangers. It takes planning and thought and self-introspection and sacrifice and plain old sweat and tears. And so no godly man ever obtained a willing mind without a submissive heart in all those same things, without introspection,
yeah,
without sacrifice, without planning, without being teachable to God's Word. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimony and that seek Him with a whole heart. Psalm 119 verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I thought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A prayerful study of the Word is what we need. Thy judgments, he says, have I laid before me. A willing mind will always be opposed to a devious mind.
Mm-hmm.
He said in very interesting, that little booklet on Proverbs, if you've got it, you better read it, because I'm telling you, there's a gold mine there of information. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, we need a willing mind. He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait, lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us follow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. See the enticements that we get to conform our mind to their mind? Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. When we begin to think like the world, brother, you better examine yourself.
That's right.
Because our mind will always be in direct opposition to the world's mind, or to God's mind. He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And sinners never cease their enticements. You remember what it says there in Genesis? And this is an example of just exactly what I'm saying, that they constantly and continually are at God's people. You know the story about Joseph. It's very, we mention it quite often here in our studies, and refer to that in Genesis 39 and verse 7. Says, and it came to pass after these things, speaking of Joseph being set under Potiphar and being his over all of his house. He said, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And then verse 15, it says there, and it came to pass when he had... No, I've got the wrong verse. Hold on a second here. Verse 39, 7. she said, lie with me. Verse 10, it says that it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. We're ever fighting against the evils of this world and our own flesh and the devil. And only through Jesus Christ our Lord are we delivered from the body of this death. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. So we need to have a willing mind.
Yeah.
A prayerful study of the Word and a fear of God is what we must have if we're to have a willing mind. Proverbs 2:1-6 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then, and only then, shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What is the seal of God's love to us? That we have chosen the way of truth. You see, he first loved us. The way of truth is God's purpose for us. To choose it is evidence of a willing mind. Now let's secondly notice that not only do we need a willing mind, but we need a determined mind. He says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Verse 31 of chapter of Psalm 119. You remember when we began this study of Psalms? In the very beginning, back in December of last year, I said that the purpose of the Psalms and the repetitious, which seems repetitious, but it's just different facets of His Word, that it seems to be like, well, it's just redundant. Well, it's not, but if it were, what's bad about the redundancy of God's Word?
Yeah.
How can you go wrong when you keep in the way of the Word of God? Remember I said that the purpose of the 119th Psalm was to induce a prolonged meditation upon the excellence of the Word of God.
Right.
Now, we watch movies at the house, Kathy and I, 50, 60 times. I don't get tired of them. I can quote about everything somebody's going to say. You know, we need to not only memorize God's Word, but meditate on it.
Right.
You see, faithful continuance in the Word of God produces a desire to dwell in the Word of God. It's like it's an endless cycle. The more you're in the Word as a child of God, the more you want to be in the Word.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Brother Hilly, I don't mean to boast you up, but until you encourage Kathy and I and everyone here in this church to have a devotion every day in your home, you don't know what you're missing.
Right.
Because you're constantly filling your mind with the right things.
That's right.
Now there's times when I'm tired and I physically and in the flesh don't want to do it. But when you do it, you're so glad that you did.
That's right.
It's like coming to church. Sometimes I'm wore out, and the older we get, the harder it is to come and set up and listen. But I think I said to Brother Cook one time, I've never left a church feeling worse than when I came in. Because the Word of God is being declared. The life substance that I need is I get there. Like no other place. Because the Word is fed to me. Sometimes it's force-fed because I need that. But I get the strength from that. Let me repeat this again. Faithful continuance in the Word of God produces a desire to dwell in the Word of God. Practicing the right thing produces the right thing. I was watching the Little League World Series this year. I love to watch that. And always those foreign athletes at that age are so more disciplined. And it shows in how they field the ball and bat the ball. Because they have practiced the right thing time and time and time again till it becomes a habit. You know, the reason we're in the state we are, so many of God's people, is that we've got out of the habit of serving God.
Amen.
And we need to start that habit all over. Practicing the right thing produces the right thing. It produces an intolerance to error. Because the devil and the world and the flesh are a continual struggle, we need to be fixed against that and seek an end to it. This is what it means to be determined. The word determined means something that is fixed. You have fixed it in your mind. You seek an end to it. That which is wrong. We have become lovers of our own selves and pleasures rather than lovers of God, running to and fro, not having God in all of our conscience. It's interesting, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We know this verse so often. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-mannered, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what we become when we force God's Word out of our life and mind. Can we never learn from the history of God's people? Well, they say that we learn about history is that we don't learn anything about history, or something to that effect. I don't know if I got that right, but why is it that we never learn from the history of God's people? Why do we have to commit those things and walk that same way and fail God?
Right.
In Deuteronomy 4, it says, "Now therefore, here's the great sin of Israel, that they worship Baal Peor, which was an idol of Baal. And 24,000 were slain that worshiped that God."
That's right.
Now he says, "Therefore," verse 1 of Deuteronomy 4, "Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes," notice that, "and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers had given you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you." That's what we do, you see. "Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men followed at Baal Peor. The Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you." We see that and we hear that, but it seems to have no effect upon us. "But ye that did cleave," notice, "unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day." We should learn from history. If we want to live in a fellowship attitude with God, let's just obey what He says. It says, "Those that did survive, they clave unto the Lord." Barnabas, we're talking about a determined mind. In Acts chapter 11, 30-23, Barnabas encouraged the people of Antioch to do what? To cleave or to continue unto the Lord. David in Psalm 119 of our psalm here, in verse 48, said, "I will meditate in thy statutes." And Paul In Philippians 3:9 says he had a righteousness, not of his own Jewish religion, but through the faith of Christ. And he called it the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so he counted all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. That's in Philippians chapter 3 and 1, you see there. His mind, you see, was made willing after a godly sort, and that produced a determined mind. Thank you for your patience, and we're coming to a close. But in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and verse 2, he says, "And I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I have stuck unto thy testimonies," David says here. He pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus because he had a determined mind. There was a lot of evil determination against the godly. You see it in Pharaoh, you see it in Haman, you see it in so many down to the history of God's people. And David was well aware of these evils from his own life experience. So in this psalm, he's determined through obedience to God's word not to be ashamed of making this right choice by a sinful conduct in his life. And so he said, "I have stuck into thy testimonies." That's perseverance. And we persevere because God preserves us. God's people prove they are disciples by continuing in His Word. He says in John 8:31, "If you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed." This determination is only by dependence on the power of God. Mm-hmm. Because Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." You can will to, and you can be determined to, but that is no guarantee. Ask Peter, without the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Lastly, and quickly, an expedient mind. It says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Urgency for the ways of God has always been the accepted norm in God's kingdom. It's woven in the fiber of the church's commission. We're urgent about the things of God, about the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about I'm not just talking about activity.
Right.
But urgency for the Word of God. We're talking efficient activity, not vainly spent energy. Mm-hmm. Urgency for the ways of God has always been the normal for God's people. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. So there is an urgency with God's Word. But in none of these do we run ahead of God or ahead of the Lord. We are urgent about the things of God, about doing the things of God. We are quick to do them while we wait on the Lord to bless them. And to open up the results of that activity. When the proper knowledge, that is an enlarged heart, a spiritual heart, is possessed, then we can mount up with wings on eagle's wings and run and not be weary, as Isaiah 40 and verse 31 proclaims. Mm-hmm. You see, the truth shall make you free. We are expedient and urgent about the things of God, but we don't make urgent actions apart from God's Word. For example, we don't lay hands suddenly on any man and set him out there to preach. You see, as an example of that, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thy heart shall enlarge my heart and teach me." You see. We're ready to run. We're like a horse that's behind the stile there and waiting for the bell to ring and the gate to drop. We do all that we can, as urgently as we can, But we wait on God to mark the time and set the time. There's a whole message here and I haven't had time to explore. An expedient mind must be a spiritual mind. I think this is the last verse we'll turn to, but in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 9. That's not right. 1 Kings 4 verse 29. It says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When we are full of the things of God, we're going to run with them. Song of Solomon says, draw me and we will run after thee. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. What does that mean? Every word of truth learned is an enlargement of heart. And we're to run with it. Simply, it is a readiness of mind flowing out of a loving heart. And I trust that God will bless you in the message this evening. Thank you, Brother Peter. Hope the Lord bless you with the message. I guess you can turn that off, Brother, will you?
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
I just left the phone over there.
We're thankful for the message that was brought out and wonderful points. It's interesting, as Brother Carl was preaching, the Lord brings things to your minds. You think of different things, and the three points: a willing mind, a determined mind, and an expedient mind. Jesus Christ had every one of those. He said, not my will, but thine be done. He had a determined mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 50 verse 7 that he set his face as a flint. He was determined to do the will of God. Nothing distracted him from it. Even the very death of the cross. And then an expedient mind, his urgency. We see that throughout. And he didn't get ahead of the plan of God. He didn't fall behind it. He was right there with it. Sometimes we get ahead. Sometimes we get behind. And then as well, and we've used this a lot there in Luke when he said, know you not that I must be about my Father's business. And I mean this. There is an urgency about it because there are souls round about us. And I've used this analogy, and other people have used it. If you saw an individual who was about to be hit by a car or a rock was going to fall, something of that nature, there would be a sense of urgency and you would shout out to them to warn them. There are people, just as Jonathan Edwards said, they're just being dangled over eternity. And yet our tongues are cloven to the roof of our mouth. There must be that sense of urgency. And I thought about in the day in which you and I live how there's a falling away from these truths. And David said, I wrote it down, he said that David stuck to God's testimonies. He stuck to it. And God's people need to stick to what His Word says. There's a lot of people departing from truth. And there are some people who aren't departing from truth because they never got to the truth in the first place. And it's a shame when people put their truth, which is actually a falsehood, in place of God's truth. And when they're confronted with the Word of God, they just dismiss it. And act as if their way, as he brought out in the beginning, exceeds God's way. And you know, it takes grace from God for you and I not to do the very things I just described. Because we're not any better than anybody else. But we thank God for it. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. We thank the Lord for the message.